Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Just as we start a question, how many of you come to church expecting to hear God and expecting to learn? And how many of you come maybe to take some notes and to see what you can learn? Last week, I had my trusty notebook with me and I took some notes because I thought we had an absolutely stonking sermon last week. And I know Jill was very worried about it and was very worried about the week. And talking of updates, how did your meeting go? Fantastic. So, and Jill spoke to us from the passage just before in Matthew, where the authority of Jesus was questioned, and she asked us an awful lot of questions. She asked us if we were content to stay in our comfort zone, or were we prepared to embrace change? She asked us if we were willing to make changes in our relationship with God. She asked us to consider whether God is calling us into something new. And she asked us to think about what we need to hang on to and what we need to let go of. And reminded us those words from Philippians 2, that it's God who works in us to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. In Jesus' conversation with the religious leaders, when his authority was questioned, he didn't give a straight answer. But instead, he answered them with a question. And after much discussion, they decided to plead ignorance. So Jesus refused to answer their question. And then straight after that, Jesus goes into another passage of teaching. And he goes into three parables. And the first of those parables we heard today, the parable of the two sons. And he said, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. And he went to the first son. He said, son, go and work in the vineyard. And the first son said, no, I'm not going to. But then later, he changed his mind and he went. And he said to the second son, go and work in my vineyard. And the second son said, of course, Dad, of course I'm going to go. But he didn't go. And then Jesus asked the religious leaders another question. He said, which of the two did what the father wanted? And it's easy, isn't it? The first one, he said no, but he changed his mind and he did what his dad wanted him to. The second one said yes, but he didn't do it. And then Jesus gives them straight away an explanation of what he had just said. And it actually wasn't very pleasant. Because he said to them, you see, the father is God. And the first son who said no, he's like the tax collectors and he's like the prostitutes. And the second son who said yes, he's like the chief priests and the elders. See, because Jesus knew that the lifestyle of the tax collectors and the prostitutes suggested that they had rejected God and they weren't living righteous lives. But they were the people who responded to the call of John the Baptist and the call of Jesus. And Jesus said, because they've repented, they are going to get into the kingdom of heaven. Before you religious leaders. Because you religious leaders who should know better, you haven't actually embraced God's instruction. You actually, in spite of your appearance, in spite of everything you put on the outside, you actually are rebelling. And the vineyard was a common symbol of the nation of Israel as God's nation. Do you know what? If I was one of those religious leaders at the time, I don't think I'd have been very pleased with Jesus. Not when he told a story like that. When he tried to catch us out, and then he basically tells us we're in the wrong, and those tax collectors, those prostitutes are going to get into the kingdom of heaven before me. But I come to church every week. I stand in front of you and I preach. They're going to get in front of me. Because I've spoken to you before, haven't I, about words from 1 Samuel, that God looks at the heart, doesn't he? Even though man looks at the outward appearance. And you won't be surprised that when I was asked to choose a second reading for today, I went and looked at the Old Testament. Because I absolutely love the Old Testament, and I love looking at the Old Testament through the lens of what we know about Jesus. And I picked a passage from 1 Chronicles. And this tells a story of the Ark of the Covenant being moved from the house of Abinadab, where it had been for 20 years, back to Jerusalem. And if you don't believe me that the Ark had been in Abinadab's house for 20 years, read 1 Samuel, because that's where it will tell you. So what is this Ark of the Covenant? Well, if you go back to the book of Exodus, you can read about the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant housed the tablets of covenant law that Moses had been given, the Ten Commandments. And it also housed a jar of manna. And it's the first object that's described in the plan in Exodus 25. And it symbolizes the Lord's presence with his people. And it was to be kept in the most holy place of the tabernacle. And the ark was not to be touched by human hands because it was holy. And we are told that if you touch it, it will result in death. And if you look back to 1 Samuel 6, you can read of more than one person being killed by the ark. And in 1 Samuel, we read about the ark was captured by the Philistines and it was taken to Dagon's temple. You can read about this in 1 Samuel 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant was put in Dagon's temple, the statue of Dagon fell face down. And they put it back up again and it fell face down. And they said, we don't want this ark in our temple. It's doing things to our God. Move it. And so it was moved to Gath. And the people of Gath didn't like it there because it was too holy and things were going wrong for them. So then it was moved to Ekron. And then after being in Philistine territory for 7 months, the Philistines who'd captured it said, look, you can have your ark back. It's nothing but bad news for us. And as it was being taken back, 70 men were killed when they looked at the Ark of the Covenant. And in 1 Samuel 6, we read, who can stand in the presence of this holy God? And the ark was then put into Abinadab's house. And when we pick up our story in 1 Chronicles 13, it is being moved from Abinadab's house to Jerusalem. Now, the people who are moving the Ark of the Covenant, if they knew their history, they would know how the Ark of the Covenant should be moved. And they would know that there were poles and that the Levites should be carrying it on their shoulders on the poles. But they didn't do that. Instead, it says, they moved the Ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it. So they put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. And although David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, what a pageant this was. The Ark of the Covenant is being moved back to Jerusalem. Let's celebrate. And they went for it with all their might. And it says there was harps and lyres and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. But when they got to the threshing floor of Kidron, Uzzah stretched out his hand because the ox stumbled and he didn't want the ark to fall off. He had the best intentions because he did not want the ark of the God to touch the floor. but because it was holy. When he put his hand out to touch it, it says the Lord's anger burned against him and he was struck down because he put his hand on the ark. And there he died before God. Then it says, David was afraid of God that day and asked, how can I ever bring the ark of God to me? And he didn't take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. You see, the ark of the covenant can be a gift of great blessing. But treat it in the wrong way. In the wrong way. And it can lead to death. Uzzah had good intentions. But we all know about good intentions, don't we? And that the road to hell is paved with them. Because good intentions are not enough. They are not enough. And as I was thinking about the Ark of the Covenant and why for some people it was such a blessing and for some people it led to death, it made me think about an electric current. If you put an electric current in contact with a light bulb, it produces light. But if you put an electric current in contact with a human body, it can produce death. The same electricity. It depends what it comes in contact with. And you know, like electricity, the presence of our holy God is dangerous if it's not treated carefully. And there was a disastrous end to the ceremony that David had in moving the ark, which shows us that actually joy and praise and worship is not enough. What we need is obedience. So what do we learn from today's two readings? Well, I think firstly, our lives need to be in conformity to the will of God. We may have good intentions, but we can't be complacent around a holy God. And joy and praise and worship cannot replace obedience. It's also made me think, what kind of person are we? Are we the type of person who says we'll do something and then doesn't do it? It's really important that our words and our actions match. And sometimes what looks like the right action, with Uzzah stretching out his hand to steady that cart, is not the right action at all. So how do we know what is right? How do we involve God in every aspect of our daily lives? How do we know what's right? Well, one way we know what's right is to make sure we know this. Make sure we're regularly reading God's word. And as we're reading it, we're praying, and we're saying, God, what are you trying to teach me today? What are you saying to me through your word? We meet with fellow believers. We talk to one another. And we talk to our Father in heaven. We pray, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, your kingdom come, in us as in heaven. Is that what we want today? Do we want God's kingdom to come in our lives?
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.